Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The College Football Experience Conference USA 2024 schedule release breakdown episode on the Sports Gambler Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using the promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. 5 winners will receive hats, shirts, and a $50 SGPN gift card. So hop on over there, folks. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Yes, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN. You get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today, people. And remember, as always, folks, too, let it ride.
Hey everybody, Joe Theismann here. You're listening to SGPN. So do this, let it ride.
We are back on the College Football Experience talking Conference USA football. What's more American than that? As we jump over to the New Mexico State Aggies and the best logo in college football, in my opinion, New Mexico State magical year a season ago, and they got it right. First off, I will reward Conference USA here. The Battle of the I-10.
Yes.
Is week 14 rivalry week as it should be. Those are conference foes too. The stakes are higher when they're conference foes. Like I love the Rio Grande rivalry against New Mexico, but since they're not in the same conference, you have to play that earlier in the year. Love the fact you end the season with a pivotal game. I don't know that conference implication, conference championship implication will be involved, but I entertain the thought to have the opportunity to say fuck you to your rival Pitt, the backyard brawl, Colorado, Nebraska, Colorado. I remember 2002, they derail Nebraska from the national championship. When you add those types of stakes to it, Washington State, one of those years with Leach, they got Washington when they were in a big spot. That's makes the rivalry like it gives. It's like giving crack to the rivalry. The rivalry is all of a sudden just goes to the next level. They're hanging out with prostitutes.
I missed the beginning of this. Yes. I appreciate the prostitute comparison there, but what game in this rivalry? I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about the UTEP game.
They got it right. What, I'm saying
was the, oh, they got it right by putting it at the end of the year. You're just saying end of the year period makes things better.
And they're both in right. The same conference. Like they have another rival game that we look at week 5. You see it there. The Rio Grande rivalry against Bronco Mendenhall in New Mexico. I love that rivalry.
Yeah you're right. By the end of the year, 14
unless they're in the same conference.
Right. You make the even if one team's good and one team's bad, you put the spoiler potential there. If both teams are bad, it's, you know, to have bragging rights be the only good thing that happened that season for you. No matter what, in conference, regional rivalries at the end of the season are the best way to do it.
Now they avoid Kennesaw State. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I would say it's a bad thing if you're an Aggie fan, right, NC Nick?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Completely agree.
So the non-con, I think this is the second hardest schedule, in my opinion.
Nick, where'd you have this ranked? I had it at 5. I don't see how this is harder than Middle Tennessee State.
Well, let me ask you this. Does the quality of the team itself impact how you view the schedule? Like if two teams had the exact same schedule, right? Say Liberty had this schedule or New Mexico State had this schedule. And we know New Mexico State just lost Jerry Kill and Diego Pissing Pavia, and they're about to take a step back. I think we've talked about it before where it's like, a home games against really hard teams. If you have or road games against really hard teams, if you have like championship expectations are a negative, but if you're just trying to go bowling, you know, getting those games on the road and taking that L.
I think I looked at it more neutrally as not looking at the new coach and Pissing Pavia being gone. I looked at it as in, I think this schedule just on the opponents, if this was given to any of the CUSA teams, I would find this to be the second hardest. That was my opinion of it. And I'll try to make sense of it.
Oh yeah, please do. Cause right off the bat, their non-con is easier than Middle Tennessee.
Pro teams have millions to spend and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You sure?
Yes. Who's better? Go down the list.
SEMO is much better in the FCS than Tennessee Tech. SEMO is a very good FCS program.
I kind of just count FCS as FCS. Unless you're one of the top ones.
Tennessee Tech's horrible. SEMO's good, right? So that matters to me. Then
SEMO, what the fuck is SEMO?
For a team like New Mexico State, that does matter.
Yeah, especially it's breaking not in a brand like new it's coach, North you could lose that game.
State or if like it's someone like that.
If SEMO it's Georgia, SEMO and fucking Tennessee Tech are the same team. If it's New Mexico State, that's where the differentiation matters.
Yeah. Well, I did not factor that into my analysis. So.
Okay. Well, that's not all of it. To me, you have two sets of back-to-back away, and one of them is, so your non-con is at Fresno State, right? One of the non-con games, but you get a conference game against Sam Houston the very next week. That sucks. And then you get a huge rivalry game against New Mexico. Now, I know you could say Duke is better than Mexico. You're accurate, but in a rivalry game, I tend to throw out record books. That is just, to me, tough to have a back-to-back away and then a rivalry game is a challenge to me. Then, also, did I add in Liberty's week two? So you literally could be 1-4, right? But you also have another back-to-back away. And to me, you have that sandwiched with your hardest rivalry game after. So both your back-to-back aways have gigantic rivalry games on the back end of them. Then you also have, before that rivalry game, you have a Western Kentucky game, which we value as was a super tough place. Then you also, I forgot, you have to play at Jacksonville State. So you add in all of those. I think it is a very hard schedule.
I just think, like, you know, in conference it's comparable. And then I think Middle Tennessee's tougher out of conference, but I see your point where as far as how it's laid out, it's a little bit tougher for New Mexico State, but still I'm just going to disagree. I think Middle Tennessee State is harder
at Fresno, at Texas A&M. They're getting their ass whooped in both those games.
Well, so like at Fresno is basically at Memphis, at Texas A&M is basically at Ole Miss, and Duke is better than New Mexico.
True, but it's a rivalry game, and then SEMO is better than Tennessee Tech. So
yeah, but those teams should beat those. I mean, these teams should beat the FCS opponents either way.
Yeah. But I would also say you have two back-to-back away games.
And then the layout is tougher. I agree.
Getting the rivalry games on the back of both of the back-to-back away games.
When you come home, you get like, you know, re-energized at your home.
I don't know. I just thought it was a tougher. And then, like I said,
you're comparing a road trip to Fresno to a road trip to Memphis. I'm not buying that the road trip to Memphis is on the same level as a road trip to Fresno. I think Fresno is tougher, although it may be in the same ballpark. And then at A&M, I think it's a tougher trip than at Ole Miss. Although
I do agree with that.
How can you say that?
I still agree. Because with
A&M's
that.
A far more intense environment,
and they have the number one class like every fucking year recently.
That is insane comment. When's the last time
I would rather
done anything?
Ole Miss is the type of team that loses those fucking games. I guess A&M did lose to App State.
Ole Miss has not lost those kind of games. What are you talking about?
Recently,
first off, that game that doesn't really matter. Both teams are going to lose, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would still rather play at Ole Miss than at A&M if it was me.
Either way,
that's a loss. I agree with
you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. That was my logic. The having back-to-back away games. I mean, I had the stat for years. I think that's horrible. I also think it's horrible to get Liberty week two when you have a brand new fucking coach. You want to get Liberty towards the back end of your schedule.
You're not beating Liberty either, even at home, not with the new coach.
I mean, at least let your new coach breathe a little bit after you play SEMO. You got to take on the team that won the championship week two. That's horrible.
I'd say you might as well get it out of the way early in the season and get that loss and then grow. But at the same time, there is momentum. So if you're taking a bunch of losses early in the season, that could hurt.
Look, that's the other thing too.
Middle Tennessee gets Ole Miss week two with a new head coach. Meanwhile, New Mexico State gets to wait until week 14.
But if it's a loss, both are a loss. Let's be honest. Both are a loss. But my thing is, like, if you were telling me you could replace Louisiana Tech with Liberty week two, I would love for that to happen. If I'm Tony Sanchez, getting the Flaming Libs week two is horrible. It's a horrible spot to get them, in my opinion.
Anyway. We're splitting hairs here.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, I want to tell you that the College Football Experience Conference USA season preview episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. What are you doing, folks? Check it all out. Sign up with, SGPN's teaming up with Underdog. So you want to sign up. They're giving away a big bonus. Sign up now between, you have about 48 hours between now and the end of the month, and we're going to give away five winners that will receive a Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card. Sign up today using the promo code SGPN, and you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter the contest for your chance to win over at Underdog Fantasy. Check it all out, folks. All right, we are back on the College Football Experience, and yes, we are still talking Conference USA football. The show won't end. We're talking about the Sam Houston State Bearcats. Life at the Bear Claw, year two, could be a little tricky. All right, could be a little tricky. Now, the non-con, by the way, I had this as sixth easiest schedule, or fourth easiest, sixth hardest schedule. The non-con at Rice, EJ Warner. Kurt Warner's son, now the new quarterback, taking over for JT Daniels after he played his yearly three games. And then at UCF. So starting your season with back-to-back away. And look, this is one that was a hard one for me to grade, NC Nick. I don't know about you, but they have six road games, but it's almost seven, six and a half road games because of the Texas State neutral in Houston. So the non-con goes like this: at Rice, at UCF, home to Hawaii, and then a neutral against Texas State. No FCS, which I thought was fucking brutal. But at the same time,
really,
I'm like,
think that's a neutral game. Do you think Texas State is going to travel hard from San Marcos and pack out that stadium in Houston?
No, those fans were lit last year.
I'm just saying Sam Houston is 45 minutes from Houston. So, right. That's going to take, are they going to travel that far for a Texas State game?
Probably an empty game either.
Right? You're probably right.
Yeah. It's at the Texan Stadium too, but anyway,
yeah, one fourth full. Let's be honest.
Either way, you're not playing at FCS, and that makes it harder to me. But at the same time, sure. you're Sam Houston State, and like I said, I do think they're going to be better this year. But you
those
also
are all avoid, losable games.
Yeah, and you avoid Middle Tennessee State. I almost think you want Middle Tennessee State on the schedule with a brand new head coach, but maybe sure. I'm crazy.
Now, the one good thing is that if you're going to have a back to back, might as well have it week 1 and 2. You know, that's
well,
not
they have another back to back week 12 and 13.
And that was pretty brutal.
Yes. At least they're two kind of like option like teams.
They're losing their last three games. Most, I don't know. They could go into Kennesaw State and get a W
on the bye week. That helps you get the bye week before it.
Patty, need I remind you, they should have won at Liberty last year in year one.
Yeah.
And they get them at home this year.
Hey,
all right.
No one goes into the Flaming Libs never go into the Bear Claw and get a dub. Yeah, so let me rattle this off. At Rice week one, at UCF week two, home to Hawaii week three, home to New Mexico State week four, then the neutral against Texas State at NRG, whatever the fuck that shit's called, week five. Week six, they're heading to the Sun Bowl to take on UTEP. Week seven, they get a bye week. They come out of the bye week, you're home to Western Kentucky, and then you're at Florida International week nine, then home to La Tech week 10, then a bye week week 11, then you're at Kennesaw State week 12, at Jacksonville State week 13, then home to the Flaming Libs week 14. I mean, I thought it was a tough schedule, but I understand there's a lot. You could say there's no power fives. UCF's a recent power five, so I understand the argument there, but you got one power five technically right now, no FCS, and Rice and New Mexico State Rice and Texas State were bowl teams. Hawaii was not. You might have the upper hand there. But I kind of
is Rice as a program. Are they rolling, or was that a little flash in the pan?
I do think Rice is solid
for a couple years now. And what quarterback did they get to come in there? They got
EJ Warner. Warner. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably two losses to start.
The toughest thing for Sam Houston here is that there's no gimmies.
Yeah, I'd say that's the biggest. But gimme I think is there's 10,
eight straight winnable games after UCF and or Rice and UCF. I think. There are none of those games that are a guaranteed loss. Even Western Kentucky.
I think Texas State's a guaranteed loss.
What?
Texas State was fire last year. They were scoring like 70 points a week, and they just got your boy. They just got the JMU starting quarterback. What's his name?
Oh, that's true. McLeod.
Yeah, I think Texas State is going to be. I think that's a guaranteed loss.
I was surprised he couldn't find a better home.
He's a little bitch.
Auburn was in talk with him, but I don't know what happened to you. He ended up at Texas State. That Lone Star beer money.
It's not that difference between bigger difference between him and Cam Ward. there it is. I said it.
I'll take Cam Ward.
You might have a little bias there, yeah. But
I'll take Cam Ward too. But look, undersized athletic quarterbacks, whatever. Dime a dozen.
Yeah.
So I think we can all agree that this is a pretty hard schedule, but the real question is like, who's Sam Houston? If they're better than we think, you know, then they're going to do okay.
Mike says 1.5 wins. I will lock that up. If that's,
I expect some hatred there. I mean, come on. They're dude, definitely going to have over 1.5 wins.
They can win the conference. If they improve, I'm not,
Houston beat in the FCS championship a couple of years ago?
South Dakota State.
Yeah. Maybe Mike's a Jackrabbit fan because that's the only way that he can throw out 1.5 wins.
Look, I'm a JMU fan, and we choked the biggest choke of all times against Sam Houston.
That's right.
And I'm still, you know,
Colby and I were at a bar in Boone watching that game. Right?
Good God,
we were.
Dude, that was the worst meltdown I've ever seen in my life.
Look, I don't know. I thought it was. I think it's a challenging schedule, but I also thought. I understand the point that there's not many for sure wins, but I also think
there's not many for sure losses.
Yeah. So I think there's opportunity. Let's talk about these UTEP Miners. I had this as the hardest schedule. Nick, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. We agree eye to eye here. The non-con at Nebraska, home to Southern Utah, who's playing much better. And I love the I love Desert Utah against Desert Texas. We need more desert football. I love New Mexico Amen. State. Yeah, New Mexico State, Las Cruces, Desert New Mexico. The more desert football, the better.
More Sun Bowl scenery, you know.
Yes. It's perfect for Southern Utah.
I want to see, like, you know, the beginning of Indiana Jones 3. What is it, the Last Crusade, where they got all like the big fucking rocks I want to see that outside every stadium.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Sun Bowl is the best stadium. Look, so the non-con at Nebraska, home to Southern Utah, at Colorado State week four, and then week 13, they're at Tennessee. Woo, before the rivalry game. That non-con, three away games. That's the hardest non-con to me. Three away games, and then Southern Utah is not a terrible FCS.
They're getting that, pounded.
I think you look at it, it's three guaranteed losses, basically. I mean, some people might not say Colorado State's that good, but there's no way year one new coach, you know, against year three.
Norvell is going to get that thing. He's a proven winner.
You'd rather play Tennessee week four than Colorado State. Like Colorado now they State, do in week 13. Yeah,
they do avoid Jacksonville State though, so that's a good thing.
That is true, but to me, the fact that you have the big thing, seven road games. You're the only team in all of the Conference USA that plays seven road games. That's insane. You only have five home games.
And you have such a good home stadium. Come on.
I know. You're killing me.
More games there, damn it.
You're killing me here.
They won't be in the red at the end of the year. They should be in the black, you know, well before Black Friday.
That's true, man. They gotta find a way to make this work. So the whole schedule as a whole, week one at Nebraska, week two, home to Southern Utah, week three at the Flaming Libs. You got to hate that too, because your coach is brand new. You'd rather play Liberty on the back end. Liberty getting gifts, taking on brand new head coaches week three. Then it's a back-to-back away that you self implied in a way, or, you know, self set up with Colorado State and Fort Collins week four. Then you get a bye week. Then you're home to Sam Houston, which is a game I dig. Then you go to Western. That's another thing. You play at Liberty and at Western Kentucky. You might miss Jacksonville State, but damn,
Where's the easy stretch in this schedule? Oh, keep going. Sorry.
You're home to Florida International after week seven's Western Kentucky schedule, you know, game. Then week nine, you're at La Tech. Week 10, home to Middle Tennessee. Week 11, home to Kennesaw State. You get a bye week. Then you're at Tennessee. You're focusing on that Tennessee game. But the worst part about this,
that's the waste of a bye week. Like, you want your bye week to get ready for a game you can win.
Yes. Yeah. The bye week should be week 13, because week 14, you have the battle of I-10.
That is the biggest waste of a bye. Take a bye just to get your shit fucked up and take a body blow.
Right. Oh, and then you have the rivalry game after. So it's like, fuck. After taking the body blow to Tennessee, you gotta head to Las Cruces. And another thing, I think New Mexico State breaking in their brand new head coach, Tony Sanchez, I mean, look, I'm not saying he'll work out in New Mexico State, but yeah, he's going to know his team a lot better by week 14 than he will in the first 6 weeks of the season. So
true. Maybe it's not the coach maybe Dimmel didn't need to get fired. Maybe it's the athletic director that needed to get fired. The schedule like that,
brutal.
Not doing themselves any favors.
And look, me and NC Nick didn't consult pre-episode or anything, or we both had this as the hardest schedule. I think it's clear cut. That's the hardest schedule.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you guys.
All right, folks, before I get to the final team, the Hilltoppers, I want to tell you that the college football experience is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, we are back. Final team, the Tops. Love the Tops. Love the. Let's be honest, the Tops logo, one of the best in all of college football. NC Nick, your thoughts?
Kind of like the Blob back from USFL, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's something great about
it. Unique.
It's very unique. Patty C, I know you like it too.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You know, with everybody trying to go with like a fierce, one, it's nice to have a whimsical one.
A cartoony. Yeah. Whimsical is a great word for it.
100% YouTube.com.
I like their other experience.
Yeah.
Their other logo, which is a hand waving a flag.
a towel. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they got to do when you're a hilltopper. You can't just put some hills and just a human at the, they should do that. Just put blob on the top of the hill.
A human standing at the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so sweating out this UVA game. They're up two right now at 20 seconds. Sorry. Go ahead.
This non-con. How about this non-con? This non-con at Alabama. Now this, it looked worse, obviously, a couple months ago when Saban was still there, but then home to Eastern Kentucky, who, you know, Eastern Kentucky has made it known they want to be FBS. I love this game on the schedule. This should happen every fucking year because Eastern Kentucky, Western Kentucky, the rivals right there.
It's right there.
And then the very next week, you get 100 miles of hate, by the way. But then after that, you're home to Toledo, who obviously is like the best team in the MAC. And then you make a strange trip to Chestnut Hill to take on Boston College. You could lose all four of those games. Actually, you could lose all five of those if you add in the 100 miles of hate. But I don't think they will. I'm just saying.
Well, are they going to lose? They're going to lose at Alabama.
They could win three of them also.
They're going to lose against Toledo at home, do you think? Probably.
I would favor Toledo, but not by much.
Toledo's a better team.
Toledo, yeah, I agree.
I favor them by 3.5. 3.5, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there.
6?
Not that much. Yeah. They're not that much better. Yeah. At Boston College is probably lost. Bill O'Brien will have
no Boston College can lose to anybody.
They could lose that game. Boston College could lose. Sure. Like Western Kentucky has had successful wins against P5s before.
3-2 would be a great start.
But they could also lose to Eastern Kentucky, guys. EKU is a FCS playoff team year in, year out. Like that, and that you don't Eastern Kentucky. I don't know what that final score was because I think the rails went off. They were playing at Kentucky, and that was like a 7-point game. In the fourth quarter last year.
I guess you got
that's a dangerous respect. Game, especially after the body blow from Bama. It's a dangerous game. I don't know. I say 3-2.
What was your rank here? Because you have.
Oh no, I fucked this up. This is this is the one that I fucked up.
Okay.
My rank was I had Western Kentucky at the fourth hardest schedule. Okay. Sorry if you're watching on YouTube. Okay.
Mike in the chat says Alabama vulnerable week one.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing.
So chronologically, the whole schedule, by the way, and let me key in, they do avoid Florida International, which you probably want on the schedule. Yeah, week one at Alabama, week two, home to Eastern Kentucky, week three, 100 miles of hate at Middle Tennessee, week four, home to the Toledo Rockets. Week five, going to Chestnut Hill to take on Boston College. Week six, bye week. Week seven, home to the UTEP Miners. Week eight, you're heading to Huntsville, Texas to the Bear Claw to take on Sam Houston State. Week nine, they got a bye. Week 10, you're home to Kennesaw State. Week 11, you head to Las Cruces to take on the Aggies. Week 12, you're home to La Tech. Week 13, you hit the road to the Flamin' Libs. And week 14, you're home to Jacksonville State. Now that's obviously a brutal end of the season with Liberty and Jacksonville State back to back. I mean, I had it as a hard schedule. I think I had it as fourth hardest schedule. So I think it's a hard schedule. I think Liberty, looking at the whole Conference USA, like I said, I have Liberty ninth and the other teams that we said were on that level, Jacksonville State and Western Kentucky, I have as the third and fourth hardest schedule. So I think Liberty's going to cruise through this conference personally, but I do expect the top to be rolling again.
I'm really interested because I thought Western Kentucky's record last year was probably better than they actually were. I think towards the end of the year, they were really falling off. That offense was not, you know, humming like it was for the 2 years before that. The defense has always been questionable there.
Who was the OC that left there?
Yeah.
The
head coach Arbuckle. He went to Washington State.
Yeah.
So,
and then,
yeah, the year before that was DJ Kinney.
Kittley.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, Zach Kittley. It was Zach Kittley. You're right.
Yeah, Kittley, right?
Zach Kittley, who's Texas Tech's OC. Yeah.
And
they've taken hits.
We think Austin Reed has graduated. So there might be a new quarterback.
I think he's done, but you never know. College athletics, you can get a waiver for your 12th year.
That's hard to track these days.
Well, you know what? The other thing about this, there's no break in the schedule. You're getting slapped like. Yeah, I mean the biggest break is the middle of the schedule where there's two buys in 4 weeks. But
and getting UTEP before the buy is nice, but yeah.
Or after the buy, rather. They're
Yeah.
They'll win that at home. But other than that, like I don't think there's three guaranteed wins in a row anywhere on the schedule, you know, let alone maybe even two.
It's a tough slate here. Now, if I said who is your Conference USA championship game, are we all going to have the same two teams? Because I don't have Western Kentucky in it. They missed it last year.
I don't have it. I actually, you want a hot take? I think Sam Houston is going to be better than Western Kentucky this year.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Sam Houston in the championship game.
I think it's worth, I mean, there's no odds out yet, but I think they're going to have horrible odds. And I think they're a lot better than their record. You want value? I think Sam Houston. And if you want another crazy value play, it's Florida FIU. International. Yeah. I think sure Jacksonville State Liberty.
Jacksonville State Liberty. Yeah, for sure.
I think the best two teams.
I think I kind of agree with Colby that Sam Houston has some appeal, especially because they were what, 1-7? No. Well, Sam Houston, they're 2-6 in conference last year.
Probably not getting a lot of love.
That has some appeal. Yeah.
Well, just because it was year one, and it's like you were in all those games, you had to gain some experience of being in those close games.
Yeah.
A lot of times you see a team, you know, years of doing this, when you see a team lose small for a year, and then the next year, you normally see the biggest record differences on that.
Right.
They learn that, hey, we're in this close game. How can we right these wrongs from fucking this up for a whole year?
Yep.
And I think
this is where we need the Arnold Schwarzenegger learning computer fucking clip. Do you have that one?
No, I might, but I definitely have some Arnold stuff here. I think let's go with
what is best in life: crush your enemies, see them driven before you.
Because last year, Sam Houston State was struggling in all their close games. They kept saying,
"What the fuck did I do wrong?
Tell me what I did wrong." All right, folks, we are the College Football Experience. We'll be back next week talking. I know we got to do the AAC, the Mountain West, the MAC have to release their schedules.
Sun Belt,
but also we want to do what was the title you were giving this episode, Nick, that we were talking about?
The hot takes we pull hot takes out of a hat like we did last year a couple times.
Lovely.
And by the way, they're talking about a 14 team playoff. I keep seeing reports about this 14 team playoff starting in
Let me get this from you, Colby, because you say 68 in college basketball is enough. Well, let me do the quick math on here. There's how many teams? Like 355 in college hoops?
362.
Okay. So that is 18.7%. And then how many teams in college football now?
133.
Here's the difference where I do that math, Patty. Automatic qualifier.
I was about to say that to me.
1.87.
Everybody in college basketball.
That'd be 24.8. I mean, essentially 25 teams is the equivalent to the current 68 team playoff.
No, but you're
32 is what you
32 would be because you have to have the auto bids.
No, 24 is what they do in college and FCS.
Yeah, right now, D2 and D3 do 32. And the FCS is talking about expanding. You have to have 10 auto bids. You have to make the games valuable in the Conference USA. Yes. So to me, you can't say take 24 teams and just vote them in because they've proven to be so corrupt over the years.
You can do 10 conferences with 10 auto bids and still have 14 at larges and 24 be enough. You don't have to go to 32.
But where I find it different is you have 32 college basketball games. When you have
32 college basketball conferences.
And no, 32 games you play too. A lot of times 32 games somewhere in between that mix.
What are you talking about? In the tournament or
no, in the regular season. So you get a bigger sample size. Like to me, when you only play 12 games or you have 13 weeks or whatever, 14 weeks, then you have such a schedule. Look at Liberty this year. Look at there are certain teams. So to me, I think you need to cast. I think 32 is the, I know Mike Leach, friend of the program, rest in peace, wanted 64. And I'd be okay because I think 64 is better than 24.
It would take 2 months to finish because you can only play once a week. You know,
and he was also a genius
because is my number. Give me 10 conference chance. Give me 6 at larges. We've never
because
fucking
the scheduling is such a it's like when you have these gigantic scheduling. Conferences.
There is part of
you're
me
gonna
that
have
appreciates
Liberty in.
The
guys, hey, college football needs a pod for another day.
The regular season does need to mean something in college football. It's what makes
it never
it
meant anything. It never meant anything. I would argue that all day. And we'll do that on another episode because I completely disagree. I think, you know, 16 is to me still very disrespectful. And to me, the fact you look at Ohio State's schedule this year, they only have 4 away games. You have other teams playing 6 or 7. That's you true. Can never have until you have, unless you, I would agree on 16.
Scheduling transparency.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But you can't do and that in a disorganized sport. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
They need to not be in charge of it because when you're in charge of it, you know, that's
a lot of manipulation happening that we're just accepting. Yeah.
So, folks, though, we'll talk about that on another episode. Is obviously they're thinking about moving to 14 after 2 years of the 12, which is hilarious because they still haven't played a game. but give Patty C a follow on Twitter at Patty C 831, NC Knicks on Twitter at NC_NICK. I'm on Twitter at the Colby D. Give us a follow. The College Football Experience is on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. We'll be back in an hour talking college basketball. February 29th, leap year. Of course, we're going to talk about that. Every night we talk college hoops on the College Basketball Experience. Tomorrow, we'll also be live with the College Baseball Experience and the FCS College Football Experience. Subscribe to those solo platforms, but we all come together as one on YouTube, youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Check out the Sports Gambling Podcast as we do a bunch of work over there, obviously, as well. They're part of the family. Check out all that good stuff. And the off-season debates are already starting. Fantasy is getting me riled up.
Are we going to do hockey at some point? We got to get these things rolling.
We will have a Frozen Four podcast, I think. But as far as lacrosse, no. it's only like a part of the country that plays lacrosse. That's like saying frisbee golf. Then are we going to do frisbee golf? Right. Yeah. Folks, until next time, this is the College Football Experience. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here. We can really ride and shoot. And the whole team's looking, and the whole world's looking with the gamblers. Ride and shoot. We can really ride and shoot. And you know what to get.